Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
And it is great to be here on a cold but beautiful day in Chicagoland. Is it cold where you are in the Great White North?
You know, it's not. It is cold for everyone else, like who doesn't live in Edmonton. But for people in Edmonton, they're like, oh my goodness, we don't need to wear a jacket today.
And okay, so what temperature is it in Fahrenheit, not that communist Celsius thing?
Yeah, it's about 30 in Fahrenheit.
Oh, wow, that's not too bad. We're colder than that. We're like at 16, yeah, so there you go.
And it's just, everyone's like, wow, it's so balmy.
Yeah, exactly. They're out in their shorts, probably swimming in some lake or something. That's so crazy. So now tell me, how can you be a country that is so cold that you adopted We Are the North as your, like, that's for, was that basketball?
That was We Are the Raptors. North? Yeah, We Are the North.
The Raptors. Okay, so there you go. So you are literally the North. Yes. So, you know, the great white North, you know, take off to the great white North. I love it.
Oh, man.
So, hey, but you don't get a lot of snow in Edmonton, do you?
Oh, it's constant. The snow doesn't disappear until April, May. So.
Oh, okay. I thought it was not a big snow scenario.
No, there's a lot of snow. Hey, all right. So
do you remember Bob and Doug McKenzie from the Great White North?
No, I don't.
Oh, that's it's a whole thing. Great White North. It was this, anyway, that's Rick Moranis, by the way. So, who was in,
I have no idea. What
Mother, I Shrunk the Kids.
Oh, so that's the Great White North. Okay. Yes. I watched Honey, I Shrunk the Kids when I was a kid. Yes.
Yeah. But you didn't watch Bob and Doug McKenzie?
I don't know who that is. Yeah.
Wow. I'm like helping you with Canadianness. So, all right. But anyway, moving on.
All right.
It was on SCTV. It was on SCTV and then it moved to CBC, which those who don't know, Second City Television, but CBC is Canadian Broadcasting Corporation.
Still going strong.
So you should have seen that. This was in the 80s though, because were you born in the
80s? I was born in the 80s. I was.
Wow.
Hey, Ed.
Now suddenly I know why you have not seen this and I feel old. Let's move on to this question before I feel any older.
So, you know what's crazy? We're on episode 400.
People love the extra info we bring.
Oh, yeah. We're just a treasure trove of random.
Or a junk drawer. We're just a junk drawer of bizarre Bob, you know, what did they, Ed, Bob and Doug? You know, where's that come from? All right, moving on.
So,
by the way, people can go today to bobanddoug.com and it's still a thing. I Googled it while we're sitting here.
That's absolutely incredible. Okay, so we're in episode 473, which is interesting.
Wow.
Which, I mean, obviously it's crazy how we're all the way up here. But what's interesting is on iTunes or on your podcasting app, you can't actually go to episode one anymore. You can't go to episode two. Like the only way you can get those early episodes is if you go to newchurches.com, hit podcast, and scroll all the way back there, because iTunes has this thing where they only sync the last 300 episodes. And hey, and did you know that most podcasts don't go beyond 7 episodes?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Most people.
Did you just make that up?
No. It legit. Most don't actually go beyond 7. So. Yeah, I mean, we're like
7 times 70, like literally 70 times 7. That's how many did you say we've done so far?
473.
We are almost. When we get to 490, isn't that 7 times 70? When we get there, let's celebrate that we have done more podcasts than the times you have to forgive somebody.
Well, okay. We don't need to go down that road. But
there's a lot of roads we don't need to go down. But anyway.
Okay. So today's question is a question that if you've been listening since episode 0, you probably would have already heard an episode where we've talked about it. But for those who have recently tuned in, let's go to one of our classics. And here it is. What advice do you have for someone who is discerning the call to plant a church?
Okay. Yeah, I don't think it's a bad thing. I only think we answered that once before, but it's the answer may differ from time to time. But I would say that it's a process. You know, it's a process. And, you know, a lot of it's intangible. You know, I was speaking at Ozark Christian University just recently, and their preaching and teaching convention, and they assigned me the topic of prayer. And they gave me texts and everything. And I don't like, you know, I mean, the whole theme is on the book of Acts. And I'm like, I got sermons from Acts 17 that will warm your heart. That's like the missiologist go-to text. I can go to Acts 16. I can go to Acts 14. I can get Lystra. I can get Pisidian Antioch. You know, I can go to 13. But they wanted me to do Acts 1 something and Acts 2 something on prayer. And so I said, I actually took the speaking engagement not knowing that they were going to assign a text. So I get assigned the text. And I actually, the Lord used it in my life. And one of the things that comes up is relates to this question, because, you know, first of all, just going through the book of Acts and talking about the prevalence and the power of prayer was amazing. And I really enjoyed, you know, because usually as a guest speaker in my field, they want me to speak on a certain thing. Sometimes they heard me do a message and they want me to do that message. Well, in this case, I never preached on it before. Or in the way they described it, I've preached through Acts, but never like that. And I got to tell you, I reflected back, because when I planted my first church, Daniel M., I was not assessed. I was not coached. I did not have an online tool. I mean, it's not like, you know, I didn't do it in like horseback, but in all of those cases, I planted a church. Don and I planted a church together because God led us, God directed us to. When I was in Buffalo visiting around, praying about it, it was a corner of Prospect and I'm trying to remember the name of the street. Was it 11th or something? Prospect Avenue. I stood there praying, and the Lord just, what an audible voice, but it was a clear direction. Come plant my, as in Jesus, church here. And I drove back home. When I walked in the door, Donna said, you know, I've been praying. I think we're supposed to go to Buffalo. And so prayer was the only thing that we had that helped us to discern a call. Now, to be fair, I was meeting with a missionary yesterday who's preaching in chapel here at Wheaton. And he said, you know, more people just need to present themselves to their elders and say, I feel called to missions or church planting. And he's right. And I love that phrase, but I didn't do that. So I just, partly because my church didn't have that, but it was just prayer. Now, what I would say is, I would have probably had a lot less grief if I had done more in understanding church planting and more. I mean, I'm still obedient to the Lord. We were thankful we went there. So what's the right way to do it? I am not saying at all that praying and fasting until God gives you an answer is the wrong way, but that's the only thing we did. But I think you should go through first an assessment process. You know, this helps steward your life, your ministry, your family. And you could start with some idea of the process just to begin. Is there might be an initial screening, and then there's probably like an initial assessment. You know, we do this with Lifeway, and when I was at Lifeway, we developed the Church Planter Candidate Assessment Tool, which I just recommend everybody use, because it probably about a third of the people who take it say, "Oh, I guess church planting is not for me." I can even tell in the questions that what they're looking for church planters is not me. Now again, if the Lord calls you to plant a church and it's a house church, it might be a different thing than what we're talking about here. But the question, I think, is probably more in a kind of traditional church planting approach where you go and you start a church somewhere. So I would do initial assessment, and I'm kind of dominating this conversation, but I'm passionate about this. So let me just go through it, and then you can, because you know, this is where I wrote my PhD on. I mean, this is my stuff. I love this stuff. I would do an in-depth screening with an organization. I present myself to my elders and therefore to some probably partner that my church has. And then I do a bigger assessment process, like an assessment center experience where I go for a weekend. And then from there, you know, I kind of take the next steps and begin to kind of dip my toe in, is this what I'm supposed to do after that assessment weekend? And then begin to under the being sent out by a church to take those next steps. So I think I probably talked too much. I apologize. So what would you add, what am I missing, Daniel M.?
It is now well known that planting new churches and campuses is the most effective way of reaching the lost, and launching in rented venues like schools or theaters is one of the most cost-effective ways to launch a new church. So if you're planning a launch or are trying to figure out how to do church well in rented venues, we encourage you to check out our friends at Portable Church. The team at Portable Church Industries takes your vision and creates engaging environments that keep volunteer retention high and allow more energy to be spent on ministry. Go to portablechurch.com/lifeway to learn more and find free customized resources that teach how to launch portable and strong.
Well,
So everything that you said, 100% agree on. The piece that I wanted to focus in on, and for me, being an Alliance guy and A.B. Simpson, I mean, the founder of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, just there's such a huge role in the call, in the notion of a call. And I'm curious about your thoughts on that. Like, do you think if someone is discerning the call to plant a church, how important is the role of a distinct burden, a distinct call, and a distinct call and a burden to a place? To a place, not necessarily maybe to a building or anything, but to a particular city or to a particular neighborhood. How important do you think that is in the discernment process to plant a church?
Pretty strong. I mean, Buffalo was not a place. It was the fastest shrinking city in America when we went there. There's a sign on the Skajakwita. It was the name of the highway. And it said, "Will the last worker out of Western New York please turn off the lights?" And it was not of my dad. When my dad found out we were going to Buffalo, he said, "That's the armpit of New York." Mm-hmm. We were from the other side of the state and downstate in New York. So here's the deal. You got to have a sense of call. So I'm of the view that you should fast and pray until God has given you a come over here and help us moment. You know, that passage in Acts where Paul sees the Macedonian man. I really think that you should not plant a church until you have a deep burden for the people in the place where you believe you're supposed to plant a church, because that burden will be the only thing, that certainty of your call and direction will be the only thing that gets you through some days. Now, not everyone thinks this, but I do. What might be the exception is sort of the entrepreneurial serial church planter who, you know, "I love this town. I'll go plant a church here. I'll go plant a church here. I'll go plant a church here." But for most people, you need a deeper sense of call, that this is to whom and to where I'm called to plant. And I think that comes through prayer and fasting.
Yeah. Yeah. I 100% agree with you there.
Oh, so good, good. I've heard people say otherwise, and I'm not offended by them saying that, but I've just not seen really successful church planting if someone does not really feel called to that setting. And I should say husband and wife.
Yeah, and it's interesting because you can ask God for a particular call to a place like Hawaii, right?
Amen. Or please, Lord.
Or for me, it's been Vancouver, and I was like, "God, would you call me there?" And it'd been that for a long time. I mean, I left there after university or through university, I transferred and I haven't lived in Vancouver since 2004, and I love it, and I know the gospel need, and I'm so excited when I see churches get planted there and all that. But and as much as I'd prayed for that and sought God for that, he's called me to Edmonton. And even in us moving back here this last year, it was just an abundantly clear, distinct call. No, I'm calling you here to this city to multiply this church, to continue to, you know, reach this year. Our vision is to reach 1% of Edmonton. And I mean, that's an ever-growing number because Edmonton just keeps on growing and growing and growing. So yeah, it's that role of the call is such a huge piece of it. And then after that, obviously get assessed, pre-assessment, assessment center, training. I mean,
I think that's part of that. I don't want somebody Now that's where I'm cautious about Buffalo. So I came back saying, this is where God has called us to go. Now the challenge is if I had done the assessment afterwards and I didn't pass the assessment, then I'm making I'm making assertions that God has called me to go somewhere and now I couldn't go. So in my case, I got turned down to be a church planter by the what's called the Home Mission Board. But I already felt God calling me to go there. Don and I felt that. And so we went anyway and went through a different program in my denomination called Mission Service Corps. But what I would say is I think it's better to do that in community with your elders, with a process, so that as you pray, that part of that's being informed by that process. Because we can mishear from the Lord too. And I think if everyone in the world is telling us you should not be a church planter, God has not wired you that way, and we do it anyway, the end result is pretty significantly problematic and confusing. So I think doing it with others is better.
That's good. That's good. Well, thanks again for listening into the New Churches Q&A podcast. We will catch you next time.